Hey, I'm Rita.
And I'm Lee.
And welcome to the Me For Her podcast.
We are two gay girls living polar opposite lives on different sides of the country, here to talk shit and share with you our experiences between 20 and 30.
Alrighty, welcome back to episode 30 of the Me For Her podcast. And guess what? Lee's back. Thank God. How you doing, honey?
I am so excited to be back. It feels weird, but like it feels amazing. I feel like we've got so much to catch up on.
Literally, how are your boobs? Firstly,
full, always, but good. they're hanging in there.
You look quite good.
Thanks.
You look quite good and like normal-esque.
Thank you
for someone with two under, two and a half, three.
Yeah, he's nearly three. So that's not actually – that's a good age gap. I look
– just mind us, we're taking a selfie and I'm not editing that out. Oh, my God, I've missed you. And, okay, I love Ollie, you know, as much as the next guy, but she has taken away our second daily chats. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, she – look, she's just so needy. She's just like
such, how dare
such
she?
A stage five old. Clinger. I know.
Literally, because she's attached to your boobs, is she not?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just talk about the fact that she sleeps in 4.5-hour blocks as you just posted on your Instagram? That is not heaven, is it not?
Look, absolutely. But you know what? You know Oak was a terrible night sleeper, pretty much his whole breastfeeding journey, which was 18 months. So I am owed this, one, and two, it could change at any minute. So I am not holding my breath.
Do you express or you just, her? She's on the
boob? She is demand fed boob, but she cluster feeds, look, she just feeds a lot right before she goes to bed. So she's not gonna bed hungry at all. There's no chance. And you've seen her, she is a chunky gal.
She is... no little lion, that's for
sure.
She
is not missing meals.
Who dis?
Hello.
Hi, Oki.
Say hi, Rita.
I hate that he can't hear me. Hi. Oh, my God. I just want to squeeze him and open fridges for you and pretend like it's really hard.
I know. He will be so excited when you finally make it to Perth.
Let's go watch Blippi.
Dude, I think like in 2 weeks.
Yeah, amazing. We can't wait.
Is Ollie sleeping?
She is sleeping. Not this one, though.
Hi.
He stopped napping just as she was born, so love that for me.
Convenient. Do you want to put the headphones on, mate? He wants to talk to me.
Yeah, he does. Oh, okay.
Let the boy have what he wants.
Say hi, Rita.
Hi, Oak. Hi. Love you, miss you. How are the trucks?
I love the trucks.
Trucks are going good? Concrete trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Say bye.
Bye.
All right, go ask Mummy Coke, you can have a little treat.
Okay. Button.
You can press that button.
Oh. Oh, just the whole family's coming in. It's like everybody loves Raymond here.
Oh.
Chris Kelly's just walked in. Nana's there.
Why don't you go ask Mummy if you can have a little Easter egg? All right, go have a little Easter egg.
There's so much going on here.
Yeah.
Is that like what your life is all the time now?
Oh, it was like that before she was born.
But like with Ollie and Boob and then Oak just coming in being like, love me.
Yes. It's organized chaos, kind of organized, but it's good. Like it's the best kind of chaos. I actually found, and a lot of people would argue with me about this, but I actually found it easier going from one to two than zero to one.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
And why is that?
I don't know. You have one and life is flipped on its head because you've got none before and you've got no responsibility of like another human being and you can do whatever you want whenever you want. You can sleep, you can do this, you can do that. You're only responsible for yourself and then you have a baby and that completely changes. And also, especially because Oak was also demand fed, so I was literally at his beck and call for so long because he was a boob. And then like the second one comes along and your life is already about another little human, and then it's just like adding to that, I guess. I'm very well supported.
Adding another human.
Yeah, I am very well supported, let me add. My Tay's around, like she works, but my mum lives next door. Like so for me personally, that's my experience, that one to two has been easier than zero to one.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And what's Oak's current setup like? Is he going to like daycare or anything during the week?
No, he goes to like mum will take him to the gym crèche with her in the morning for an hour, some mornings during the week. And that's a huge help. I take him to do an activity, like a kid's activity, pretty much every day. And then
he's having a tantrum. Oh, Oak. He just wants his mum. Oh my God. Does that sound traumatic?
He hasn't napped and he's still not coping with not napping, but he won't nap. And Tay's not as good at like negotiating with him as me.
Oh my God. By the way, how many episodes has your mum listened to? Because I feel like we've lost people along the way.
Oh, I.
CK is probably one of them. My mum said to me the other day, she was like, hey, are you guys still doing the podcast? I was like, we're up to like episode 28. She was like, why didn't you tell me?
No. I was like, why aren't you listening?
What the hell, mum? What the hell? I think she got confused because I told her not to listen to episode 6, the sex one, and maybe she thought like we were 7 episodes in and just called it a day.
Oh, bless you. No, I don't know. I don't know if mum has been. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to ask because I don't want her to lie to me and be like, yeah loving fair. It when she's not listened.
Have you listened to any of mine that I've done without you?
I listened to part of the
Malta.
The Malta one. I was going to say Polish. But, babe, I don't – myself anymore. Like,
I know because I got treated to a call from you yesterday and I was like, are you okay?
If I'm in the car by myself. Call?
And you were like, no, I'm just in the car by myself.
If I'm in the car by myself, I'm going to the shop, which is 2 minutes away, and I'm gone for like 20 minutes max. And I could listen like at night when the kids are asleep, but I'm then watching some dumb Netflix show, so.
And that's your Tay time, isn't it?
Yeah. Or yeah, she work.
I mean, I guess she deserves a bit of you.
Yeah, she. Or but she goes and works out sometimes, in the garage. But no, she's very good at also getting Ollie to sleep by just like telling her she's tired.
That's cute. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
No, but I really appreciate our 5-minute phone chats when either you're breastfeeding or in the car by your own, because at least like I can like debrief you on my current like dating situation or what's going on in my life.
Yes, and you know what? I feel like a terrible friend because I haven't even asked about the house situation.
House is all good. I literally was signing build loan like last stuff just as I was jumping onto this, so everything's all good. It's just apparently going to take 8 weeks from design and plan approval for them to actually site start. So it's still a couple of months away for me to actually see anything starting. But from that point on, it's like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Shake, shake, shake the room.
I guess once slab's down, then it starts moving pretty quickly.
Exactly. So it's looking like over winter, like that's when, like what are we now? We're in May. So call it 2 months from now, the slab should be a couple of weeks away.
Cool.
Yeah. But that's like the least exciting thing going on in my life right now.
Wow. Juicy.
Wow. Stop it. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, obviously I was meant to be in Perth last week and we were both super bummed about it.
Yeah.
Because it got cancelled last minute.
Yeah.
You actually took that way harder than I thought you would.
The lockdown or you not coming?
Me not coming.
Well, of course. Like, you know. We were excited. I told Oak about it. And, yeah, and then it feels like, again, like the same time as New Year's. I mean, New Year's you actually made it over. But then all of a sudden, but I knew that it would be again, you'd make up for it, like you'd be coming back again anyway. But, of course, it's disappointing. And I'm just fucking over it. Like, in all honesty, sorry to swear. Mm. But WA just needs to sort its shit out. Like, oh. These snap lockdowns, and for like 3 days, it affects so many people, like obviously worse than me, like, you know, small business have to shut and things like that, and they're just starting to wear thin. And I understand, you know, look, everyone's got their beliefs, but I just don't think these snap lockdowns are the answer. I really don't. people are starting to really, like, I don't know, suffer, especially like small businesses and, you know, people not being able to have like the support that they need at their births and, yeah.
People not being able to see their best friend.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just
more to the point.
A lot of it. And I know, I know people are going to be like, oh, like it's a lot worse and blah, blah, blah. I get it. But it's all relevant. We're all affected.
God, I've missed your rants.
Welcome back. Trust me, that's low key because I know that people have their difference of opinions, and I'm not even gonna.
Well, let's give the people what they want. I mean, we've been raving about your birth story since Ollie was born, so let's get straight into it. So, the last episode that we did together, that was your last episode in the pod before Ollie was born. Mm-hmm. You were like, "She's due next week. Might be sooner. Who knows?" So. Let's go through my favorite part, which we've discussed earlier in the pod days, your water breaking.
Oh. Well, it's a very anticlimactic story because I was having contractions. Like my contractions started Sunday night, the 28th of March.
Mm-hmm.
Let me let you in on the most... the grossest part, I would call it. Nothing about birth is gross. Just the words. So Sunday night at like 9, I lost my mucus plug. Wrap.
That's a fucking thing.
Your head around that.
wait. I'm trying to think mucus. Mucus is like gunk.
Yeah, like honestly, like it's.
But is this your butt or your vag?
My vagina, babe. And
sorry, I kept thinking butt plug.
If you want to know what it is, butt plug. Google it. It is what it is.
Google it.
And it's a part of birth. And I knew it may come. I didn't lose it with Oak, but my
how do you spell mucus?
MUCUS. And my sister had, and so when I lost it, I knew what it was, and I messaged my midwife and I messaged my sister and I was like, oh, is this a mucus plug? Knowing full well.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
It looks like snot.
Yeah.
Like the inside of a snail. What's it plugging though?
I don't know. I don't really want to know.
So did you catch it?
No.
Did you fart and like?
I went to the toilet. It's kind of like getting your period. Okay.
Not as gross as a period cup. We're not there yet. But anyways, keep going.
So I lost that, and I was like, oh, fucking gross.
Wait, so it was in your undies?
No, I wiped and it came onto the toilet paper. I can send photo of it if you want.
Nah, I think I'm good. But anyways, continue, right?
And so I lost that and I messaged my sister and my midwife. And my midwife was like, yeah, that's your mucus plug. Like, you could go into labor but it could also be another 5 days. So I was like, yeah, cool.
Oh.
So I was like, hey, like, come have a look. This is my mucus plug. She was like, cool, babe. What do we do? Like, and I was like, oh, well, it could be like another 5 days. So she was like, should we just go to sleep just in case? And I was like, no, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. We were watching Netflix. It was like 9. I'm not going to overthink it. And then literally like a couple of hours later, my contractions started, but they were real low key. I was still in bed. There were nothing to them. I just stayed in bed until like early hours in the morning and then got up and they were still there, but I was like walking around the house, playing with Oak, doing dishes. Like,
Do you think because you'd had a kid before, you sort of weren't like, oh, I've got a contraction. Like you knew what to expect and you weren't like, I've got to go to the hospital or whatever.
Well, because I was birthing at home, I wasn't like, oh, my God, what do we do? Because I wasn't going anywhere. I was staying home.
Yeah.
So when they started getting closer together, I messaged my midwife. Called my midwife and we messaged our birth photographer. And then they started getting closer together. But, again, still I was just walking around the house, doing things around the house, having snacks. Birth photographer got there. Midwife got there. Midwife was sort of like, you're not in intense enough labor for me to just sit around. So she went and did observations on other like women she had on her books close by, and then Tay took Oak to the park with my mom, and then they came back and I was like, oh look, they're getting a little bit closer together. 7:30 in the morning, sorry, my water's broke.
Tell me the story.
I was just laying on the couch and just chatting to Tay, chatting to my mom in the same pants I was wearing when my waters broke with Oak, and I hadn't worn them since then.
No. Yeah,
so weird. And then my waters broke. I was just laying on the couch, and again, just like a gush of water came out that wasn't wee and wasn't like I didn't control it. It just came out, and I was like, my waters broke. I was laying on a towel, thankfully. So I was like, do I really need to move? Do I?
Oh, lucky. Yeah.
I was like, do I need to get up?
Just asking the ambience.
I was like, do I need to get up?
Asking in the ambience.
Yeah. And then Tay was like, do you have undies on? And I was like, no. So I got up and just like changed my pants. And yeah, that was just it. It just came out and that was it. It was only one time. Some women's water continues to break like over and over again. Not me. I'm a one-time gal. And
yeah, gal.
That's it. And anyway, and then, yeah, I guess contractions just got closer together and more intense. And my midwife is there. My birth photographer is there. She was amazing. Do not regret having a birth photographer at all. She just got all the real.
The photos were gorgeous.
Oh, when you're here, because there's too many to send, I'll show you the whole album. Mm-hmm. You can actually see the head coming out.
Oh.
If you want.
It's not, won't be the last. It's not the first time I've seen your vagina.
This is just different, okay?
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And then, yeah.
Do you have a photo of the placenta?
I do.
Okay.
Cool.
Freaks me out a bit, but I want to see it.
Well, what? let me tell you more about that.
I know. Yeah, keep going.
And then, yeah. I bought all these snacks for like the people that were there, and Tay just put out the lollies, like the all natural, you know, those party mix. And I fucking love that. I ate like me and the birth photographer literally just like ate the whole.
Oh, so Chris and Tay left you.
Oh, yes. They knew not to fucking touch my lollies. They were my strength. And then the contractions just got closer and stronger. And just stayed at home. I used Tay as like a physical outlet. I didn't, and it was intense.
Wait. You just clenched your fist.
Like, I just like just squeezed my hands so hard. I'm pretty sure they nearly broke. Like, I'm
you weren't like,
kidding.
Take this, bitch.
Oh, no. I didn't have the energy for that. And you know what's crazy is, so in between contractions, so at one point my body is literally going through the most pain I have ever experienced in my entire life. But then when
even before Oak?
Oh, no, Oak's was more painful.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because it was not natural. I was induced with Oak, and the contractions come on way faster and less and closer together. It's like one long contraction. Like there's nothing natural about it. So that was harder. And I was in hospital. I was not comfortable. At home, I was way more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's still the most painful thing ever. And in between those contractions that last for like a minute and a half, I was falling asleep. Like, how the fuck does your body go from being in copious amounts of pain to being asleep? And then they come and I wake up.
Was it because you were so exhausted?
Well, your body just sort of surrenders and just like it's.
That would have been creepy for Tay to be like, oh my gosh, she's sleeping. And then you're like.
But this is the thing, Rita, is you know me. My contractions, I just did breathing, and I, like the photographer said to me after, she was like, you're probably one of the calmest people I've seen in birth. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because I didn't feel calm. I didn't feel calm, babe. I'm glad it looked like that. But I did these courses online that taught you like these breathing techniques. Sounds dumb because you're like, everyone knows how to breathe, but there's certain ways.
No.
And so I did them, and they actually helped. When I first heard about it, my sister told me, I was like, oh, as if being in that much pain, like breathing, babe, like give me something better than that.
Can you like give us an example, please?
Of how I
is
was
it like,
no, it's
yeah.
like,
yes,
you got to breathe
it.
In like real. So when I was doing the course, she was like, you got to breathe in for 10 seconds and then let it out for 10 seconds. I was like, I don't know if this is to gauge how fit I am, but I'm so fucking unfit. I cannot breathe in for 10 seconds. Are you kidding me?
Now, can we try it? I'm going to give us a 3, 2, 1.
Okay, you tried breathing for 10
seconds. We're
both
going to do it.
All right.
All right, but you're going to do it too. Right. 3, 2, 1.
See, I get to like 6 seconds. You've got that through your,
I just got
it's
there.
Gonna be through your nose, babe, not your mouth.
Oh babe, you didn't tell me that.
I thought you knew that. You breathe in through your nose. It's like a universal law. Anyway, so I was like, I can't breathe in for 10 fucking seconds. But anyway, you practice it through, like the course teaches you to practice it. And then by the time you give birth, like close-ish, but I never got to 10 seconds. I don't.
Yeah.
I think Tay was trying to count to 10 and I was like, don't, because it makes me feel really unfit and really unhealthy, so don't. But then, and then there's also like the, you breathe in and then on the out you go, and honestly, that saved my life.
Really?
Was like you breathe.
Is it, was it like therapeutic?
And then you breathe like at the back of your throat. So if you're ever in
like where your Adam's apple would be if you're a guy.
Yeah, I guess. You sound like Yoda. And honestly, it was life-changing. I was like, where's this been my whole life?
Well, I like those yoga classes where like you really exhale all at the same time. And at first you're like, what the fuck? This is weird. But when you actually if you can't beat them, join them, and you do it, it's like, fuck, this feels awesome.
Well, you do.
Is it like that?
No, it just, I don't know. I don't know what it did, but that literally, because the contraction comes and you're like, fuck. Mm. And the midwife's like, stand up because of gravity, blah, 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 help the baby get down. Mm. But standing up made it, like, it was way more painful. So I was like, had my hands around Tay's neck. This sounds bad, but like, you can see what I'm doing, around the back of her neck, like ripping so fucking hard. Had standing up, and then that breath work, like, just it was so good, but it was still like I needed Tay there. Like Tay said to me at one point, I need to go to the toilet, and I was like, you need to wait till this contraction, like this next contraction ends, then run,
then you can go
and then run back, because I never thought I'd use her that much, like her
as much as you did,
physically, like holding her hand, gripping the back of her neck, getting her to hold me up. She needed to be next to me the whole time, and she just. Like, you know, and I think I spoke about it on the pod, like we both went into Oates birth a little bit like, well, we were rookies, and she was like, I feel like I could have been better. So she did a lot of work in this pregnancy as well. And I, like, she was amazing. Like, she was the perfect birth partner. She didn't take anything personally, and I wasn't abusive or nasty, but at one point I said to her,
dirty whore!
you did this to me, bitch!
How fucking dare you inject me?
I told, well, she didn't, but anyway, you, I told you you were having the next one and you fucking didn't. Yeah. But she was just like like at one point I said to her, actually at a couple of times, I was like, I can't fucking do this. Like, this is so painful. She was like, you can. And I was like, no, don't talk to me. I need to talk to you, but you don't talk back at me, okay? I didn't actually say that, but as she said to me, as she replied to me saying, babe, you've got this, I was like, don't talk to me, even though I had initiated conversation. I didn't want her input. But she knew not to take anything personally. She knew I just needed to say that. And but there's nothing worse than being in like that much pain and someone being like, you've got this.
It's okay.
But like that's
that all much longer.
It's all you can say. It's all you can say. It's like you've got this. And at that point, we weren't going anywhere. Like there was no way. And I was never at the point of being like, I want to go to hospital. I want an epidural. Like I was never at that point. Although it was, I don't know how, but then like at one point my midwife actually whispered to Tay, like, there's not long to go. And I was like, why didn't she tell me that? Because I had no idea. And
gotcha.
And so then, we went for a couple of hours like that, active labor, and then I was like, Tay like said that you could actually see, because the baby comes down, like you could actually see a bulge at the bottom of my back, which was the baby, and that's why people think they're going to poo, because the baby goes, like, down that way. So then
did you poo?
Before I even got in the pool or anything.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's so normal for women too, because you're pushing so hard. Like, I'm surprised my whole bodily organs didn't come out. but then I said, I'm ready to get in the pool. Yeah, I got in the pool after a couple of hours of active labor. And remember, like the contractions are 1.5 minutes or 1 minute. And what was crazy is that when Oak was there, like in the house with my mum, my contraction stopped. And that's a thing. And if you've given birth, people know about it. Like if you're some people.
What?
Like so him being there was like even subconsciously, I didn't seem fazed by him, but he was like running around playing. And I think I was concentrating on him and I was focused on him and my contraction stopped. It's an emotional thing. I don't know. My midwife did warn.
Okay.
She did warn me about it though. And other people have said like they try to get in water and their contraction stop. Or one woman I know was in an abusive relationship at the time of giving birth and she tried to labor at home and her partner being there mm-hmm. made the contraction stop. Like the father of the child made the contraction stop because it's an emotional
thing. So when you say they stop, it's like it's not good because the baby needs to come out, right?
Yeah, okay. You need labor to keep going. And they don't stop, they're just further apart. And Tay was timing them. So mine were going every minute and then or not every couple of minutes at this point. And then when Oak was there, it was every like 4 or 5 minutes. And so I was like, Mum, I need you to take him. Thankfully, my mum was there. Mm-hmm. Would have loved her to be, like, at the birth, but she mm-hmm. played her role that I needed her to play, and he was happy mm-hmm. to go. So that was fine. He wasn't actually there when the baby came out, which, to be honest, now I'm glad he wasn't because he's very young and mm-hmm. I don't know how he would have dealt with that.
Yeah, of course.
Not that, like, he would look back at it and he would have – I didn't scream or swear or anything. Mainly mm-hmm. because that exerted more energy and I didn't have. But just seeing your mum's body do that, I don't know how he would have coped. A lot of people have their children there.
Yeah, and, fair and enough.
It's fine. But, yeah, so my contractions basically stopped when he was there. So mum took him.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
If you had to, I know you've had two now, but if you had to compare the pain that you feel at birth to like something that me and everyone else could sort of, who hasn't had kids, like could sort of try and picture, like what would it be?
Being hit by a train? No, I'm kidding.
No, like is it like actually pushing out like a watermelon or something?
Okay, like, no. So this is what I've said to everyone is, so pre, and again, let me preface this by saying this is my experience. This is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Active labor is different to like pre-labor. So pre-labor was like the contractions I was having when I was still walking around the house, doing dishes, playing with Oak, doing my thing, not
mm-hmm.
having a chat. And then active labor, like you're not having a conversation, like you're not. But so active labor is the intense part and then pre-labor's like it's not comfortable, but you're not like I wasn't in copious amounts of pain in pre-labor. So when people say they had like 48-hour labors, that's not necessary active labor. Like their waters may have broke
mm-hmm.
and they could be having contractions, but it may not be that intense, really strong contractions. And then when you when you're pushing and then the time between like there's a transition, there's a thing called transition, and that's where you go like it's right before you're ready to push. And that is the most mm-hmm. intense pain. Like I don't know what to compare it to because it's like your whole body. I was like internally like your whole body is just but it's at the same time it's natural. It feels right because it's your baby's being born. Mm. It's not a pain. Like if you got like run over by a car, that's not a good pain because you got hit by a car. But birth is you know it's doing something. So every surge and every mm-hmm. contraction is you closer to meeting your baby and you know your body's doing what it's meant to do and you know it's natural and you know it's what it's meant to be doing. So even though you're in all this pain, it's hard to explain because you're like it's doing something. This is my body doing what mm-hmm. it was made to do. And so it's hard to compare it because not a lot of good things come from being in that much pain. Do you know what I mean? Whereas being in that much pain, giving birth, you're giving birth to your baby. So
mm-hmm.
there was like pre-labor, active labor, transition period, which was like 15 minutes for me. And that's when you're in the most like, I can't fucking do this pain. And we were actually told that Taylor was actually told before we had Ollie by our chiro, our chiro said to Taylor, when Lee's at that point of saying, I can't fucking do this, you know it's close.
Yeah,
And then I was in the water and then it was like 3 pushes and she was out. And, like, she was just under 10 pounds. Like, she was 4.4 kilos. Like, she wasn't small.
That's insane.
The pushing part was the best part. It's
really
so crazy. And I didn't have, obviously, I had no pain relief because I had her at home. There's mm-hmm. nothing like you see in movies. The pushing part for me was not even close to the most painful. And you see how big of, like, you can imagine what the vagina does.
Yeah.
And it's not as painful as you actually think it's going to be, for me anyway. And the relief of pushing was so good, because I was in the pool and I had my legs against the edge of the pool. So I was pushing against something and it felt so good. And then the feeling of feeling your baby, like its head come out and then the rest of the body, like imagine doing like a really big poo and the relief you get from that, but times like 100, because you're giving.
I feel that way often. I feel that way often, actually. And so I can relate.
Imagine doing that and a poo at the same time. You'd be like, oh my God, I just feel 100 kilos lighter. But the pushing part and the actual baby coming out, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually quite enjoyed it because you know your baby's coming out. But yeah, there was definitely moments where I was like, fuck. This is insane. But at the same time, every contraction is you closer to your baby being there. So my active labor was only 2.5 hours. So I was very lucky.
Oh, wow.
And then.
Whereas with Oak, how long was it?
My active labor, active labor was about 15, 16 hours.
Holy shit.
But that was so unnatural because he was induced. God. So he just wasn't ready to come.
Yeah.
He was posterior.
Yeah.
So he was face up, like sunny side up, and that's not good, makes it take longer. But, yeah, so I've now experienced a hospital birth and a home birth, and I would every time, if we have any more kids, it's not even a question, I will be having them at home. Like it home was birth. The most amazing experience. And, look, I can speak in hindsight now. And in the if you'd asked me at the time, I would have said, fuck no, I'm never doing this again. But in high, like I've done both. And look, it doesn't matter how you give birth, like cesarean, vaginal, forceps, whatever. It's birth. Like I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but there's always going to be an element of like discomfort, I guess. But you know, my home birth was as great as it could have been. I mean,
and I guess you've wanted a home birth for a long time.
We wanted it with Oak, and we didn't get approved one. Yeah,
but that was like you felt that was best for you, right? And that's super important for anyone. They need to listen to their body and what feels right for them.
One of my closest friends, Shannon, I said to her, because she birthed really easily with her daughter, her eldest daughter, and she's pregnant again. I was like, you have a home birth, and she was like, no thanks. It's just not for everyone, and I completely get that, and you've got to really want a home birth. And I did a lot of, as you know, like work mentally and emotionally to prepare myself for this home birth, and I feel like you've got to really want a home birth. And you know what, some people accidentally give birth at home, but some people accidentally give birth in a car, like it just, these things.
Someone gave birth at a servo, it was on the news last night.
Like these things happen, and it just happens. But for me,
guess where I want to give birth?
Where?
In a ball pit.
Of course you do. You giant lesbian with mud.
You at Mardi Gras. Anyways, continue your story.
Yeah, that baby will be born with like.
So what was it like? What was it like meeting Ollie?
It's like just.
Is that Oak?
Yeah, babe. It's just like the most amazing feeling of relief and love and. Oh, baby Ollie.
Hi, Ollie. Hi, Oaky. He's so proud of himself. He's like, just hey, guys.
Falling over everything.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, it's like what you see. As soon as it's like 50% absolute relief, like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. And also like, oh my God, he's my child that I've grown for 9 months. Yeah, it's just exactly what you see, like what you see in movies. It's like relief. You're like, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself. I can't believe my body just achieved that. Like, I can't believe it's over. And then like, you're having a baby that you've grown for 9 months, like, laid on your chest, and it's new life and it's your baby. Like, it is, there is obviously no feeling like it, and it's so hard to explain. It's just every single emotion you could possibly ever feel, like, rolled into one. You're exhausted as well, like you're hormonal, you're naked laying in a pool.
Okay, and then And, like, obviously, so you had your moment with Tay and meeting Ollie.
Yeah.
You guys got to hold her.
Yeah.
The cord cutting thing and the placenta, let's talk about that.
So we delay cord clamp, like we delayed the cord mm-hmm. clamping, which mm-hmm. is just allows the blood from the placenta to, like, transfer to Ollie for longer, mm-hmm. which has got benefits. Not everyone does it, mm-hmm. again. Preference. And so we did that. And then you've got to give birth to the placenta. So you're still contracting. So you're like, you've got your baby. You're like, oh, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're still contracting. And you're like, hold on like a minute.
Bonus prize.
Yeah. You're like, hold on a minute. What is happening? And the placenta, for anyone who's had a baby, they're big as well. But, I mean, it's nowhere near like giving birth to a human. But And then so... Yeah, the placenta comes out and then that's it. And then, Oak came home and met her.
Mm-hmm.
And Tay, it surprised me because we had our placenta encapsulated with Oak, which was.
Yes, I remember.
You have it by a professional, unless you know how to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have it dehydrated and then it's put into capsules, so you take them like a pill,
mm-hmm.
and there's got a lot of nutritional benefits to that. This time,
mm-hmm.
purely because I was organizing a lot of other stuff for the home birth, I completely forgot to organize placenta encapsulation. So then the day, Sarah said to me, what are you doing with your placenta? Mm-hmm. And I was like,
whoops.
So Tay, with Sarah's guidance, cut up my placenta into little pills and we froze mm-hmm. it and I put it in my shake every morning, in my smoothie. And
look,
people think that's so gross. But one,
I used to, I'll be honest. I've changed my opinion on it because I've heard of the amazing health benefit. And, like, we eat meat, like.
But one.
You know? Doesn't it look like a steak?
Yeah. Or I'll send you a photo.
No, I'm going to Google that too now. Anyways, continue.
But I grew it in my body. It's not like it's my, it's not like it's, you know. I don't know.
Ooh.
Maybe because.
Sort of looks like meat.
Maybe because I know the benefits of it and you don't taste it. And and I think it's been a game changer for me and I'm glad I didn't encapsulate because the benefits I found this time, like she does sleep well at night, but I am nowhere near as tired as I thought I was going to be and I'm nowhere near as tired as when I had Oak and I had one.
That's pretty crazy.
So I do I am such an advocate for placenta raw or however you want to take it, but mm-hmm. I think it does help.
Mm-hmm.
And my placenta was huge, so I've got a supply forever. And I've actually told Tay she should take it. And Tay was
that to me is a little bit weird.
No, but yeah, I know, I get that, but like why?
But are you trying to say it'll make her less tired or something?
Oh, it'll be so nutritional.
Or is it like a tie to the baby?
So nutritionally beneficial for anyone who takes it.
So when I come to Perth,
if you like, honestly, go for it.
Can we put a post in the poll? Instagram?
Go for it. If you know the nutritional benefits of it, you would. But you know, in London, one of our midwives was telling me that in London they actually have like community gatherings when a baby's born, and they all share it amongst like the community.
Wow. I think it's like a tribal thing, right? Like that was super common for women to have their placenta, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it makes sense.
Anyway, it's like a little pill and we put it in my smoothie. I don't taste it and it's nutritional beneficial.
Okay, you keep saying pill but you said that you didn't get them.
No, okay, it's like the size. It's like a centimetre long. We cut them into really small.
Yeah.
And then with the rest of my placenta, we're going to bury some in my mum's backyard because I grew up there.
I'm just going to say it. Weird. Explain.
That's more common than what I do. A lot of people bury it as like, because.
Does it like grow a tree or something? Or
it's just like
a center tree?
It's like it's like just planting them like where they're from or the roots and stuff like that. A lot of indigenous people do it like back to like their home, like where their family's from.
Okay.
And I grew up in my mum's house. She lives next door, so it's basically where Ollie was born. The reason we're not doing it in our backyard is because we don't know if we'll live if we'll rent this house out. Forever.
Fair enough.
And then another bit, we're going to bury in Tay's grandparents' backyard because
That's really special.
So we've done that. But, yeah, and then after she was born, Oak came back with – and do you know what's crazy is Ollie was born at 1:07 p.m. and my mum, like, when she's got him, like, times – like, when he wakes up and goes to sleep and stuff, so we know. And he woke up from his nap at 1:07 p.m. in the next house.
Whoa. Like,
at my mum's house. So that was really
weird. That's crazy.
And he came in and Ollie had bought him a fireman outfit.
Oh, so
to say, like, hey, I'm your sister, love me.
Hey.
And he loved
that's
it.
That's cute. Oh, that's so cute.
And, yeah, he's been obsessed with her since. Like, obviously there's been an adjustment period, but he's done so much better than what we were prepared for. We thought he was going to.
Mm.
Are you okay there?
Well, didn't you say, just for everyone's benefit, Ollie's on Lee's boob at the moment. She's been having a little bit of a feed. But didn't you say that Oak, he was like, he wanted to show his love and excitement and he was a little bit overbearing at the start?
He still is.
I imagine he's normal.
No, he's gotten better.
Okay.
He's gotten better, but he still needs to be told, like, you know, be careful, you know, too rough, like, don't put your hands in her mouth sort of thing. Like, he loves her so much, though, so we're trying not to be too harsh on him, but it's siblings, I guess. He's great. Like, and he's nearly three, so I feel like this is a great age gap for us. She's just fallen asleep like that. She's just so chubby. I love her so much.
She's so cute. I just want to go like this.
I know. Her cheeks, honestly.
So how are you going? I mean, it's 5 weeks later. You're obviously doing better than you were with Oak, I suppose you could say.
I'm just more seasoned, I guess. Like, I just sort of know new.
Tay's back at work now.
Yeah,
too,
she
right?
had 3 weeks off, but she's also, like, it's raining today and tomorrow, so she's home. And my mum's around. And my little sister's around. And so I'm doing well. Like, I don't want to jinx myself because sometimes I'm sort of like, oh, because you know me, I can. With Oak, I got quite anxious at the start that, like, every little noise he made was a problem. And so,
of course, as I imagine most first-time parents would do.
Yeah, but my anxiety sometimes got the better of me with Oak. And this time around, like, I'm shockingly chill. And I'm like, what's going on? Why? When is it going to hit me? But
no, I think you're just owning it and you've done a lot of work and you're reaping the rewards, both of you. Like, how's Tay in all of this?
She's good. She's really good. It's funny because, like, Ollie will, like, she had, like, a little, like, her big toe was a little bit red the other day. And I don't know if it's a daughter thing. And I shouldn't say this because you should treat boys and girls the same. But I don't know if it's a daughter thing. She was like, oh, like, really, like, but if it had been Oak, she'd be like, it's fine. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, a baby girl thing. I don't think she treats, like, she would treat a girl any differently to a boy, but I was like, oh, like, are you going to be like Ollie's little protector?
Helicopter?
Yeah. But now she's chill. Like, she'll just pick Ollie up and do, like, the vacuuming and the mopping and, like, have her over her shoulder, over her arm. And she's really chill. And she's great with Oak. Like, that's been the thing when she was home, is she was like, it was at the start, it was sort of like I was with Ollie, she was with Oak, naturally, because I'm feeding.
Yeah, she's on your boob.
Yeah, but I don't know. Tay and I are so different, and that's why it works. Like, I am the more, like, anxious one and she's the more calm one. But to be honest, I've been chill this time and, like, it's just – it's easier. But, you know, yesterday, like, just to keep it real and raw, was it yesterday or the day before or something?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Oh, terrible morning. Like, she wouldn't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't, like – settling at all, and I just was like, what the? And when you're home on your own and you can't figure it out, but and she wouldn't let me put her down, like, she wouldn't go in a swing or anything, I was just like, oh my god. And I felt, like, defeated at that point. But then, you know, last night and today's been great, and you, like, you sort of just take it day by day, and I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is just taking it day by day and knowing that
day by day.
Every day's different, every night's different, and it doesn't last, you know, it'll pass, like, before you know it, they're three. And that scares me. Mm-hmm. That's really, really scary. And that's something that I'm trying to remember with her, is to like really embrace it. And I thought I did with Oak, but I don't think you ever really do as much as you want to, because time goes mm-hmm. so fast. But what, and like what really scared me as well when I was pregnant, and I don't know if I spoke about it, was like the guilt of Oak feeling left out.
Yeah, of course.
When she was here. But because my mum's been around, and because Tay had 3 weeks off, and she's been also a bit flexible with work since going back, like he's never really felt on his own for too long.
Neglected.
Yeah. And I do my best to like have my one-on-one time with him still. But I had one moment after she was born, it was about a week later, and he had a full-on emotional moment, and he was saying things like, my mummy, which, and so I just picked him up and I got on the bouncy ball thing that you see, yoga ball, whatever the ball's called. And I just, I broke down, and like I tried not to let him see, and I felt such a wave of guilt come over me of like, and you know, people are going to be like, oh, that's ridiculous. But I was like, what have I done to him? Like, this is just like ruined his life. Like, I was hormonal still. I was a week off giving birth. I was wearing bloody adult nappies. Yeah. I was bleeding still. And I was just like, what have I?
You had your mucus plug in still.
And I was like, I've ruined his life. And then, like, I just was like, Lee, get a grip. Like, he's fine. And that was the only time he really had responded so emotionally. But I honestly, because I struggled with it throughout the pregnancy of, like, him feeling like that. That was, like, honestly my biggest fear. And so when he was like, my mummy, and ran off crying, I just was like, oh, my God. And so I just broke down. And I was like, oh, my God. And, like, my mum's there. She's such tough love. She was like, Lee, get a grip. Like, he's fine. He'll be fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just adjusting. And now he's
adjusting.
And it could come up again. You know, we're only five and a bit weeks in, so it could come up again for him. And we've just got to deal with that. But that was honestly.
So it's a parenting.
That was probably, like, a real hard day for me since having her was him feeling like that. And, But
well, you seem like you're smashing it. The four of you, family of four now.
Yeah, but it's just taking it day by day, I think, and knowing that it doesn't last forever. And like even bad nights, we've had a few bad nights, I should say. And it's so weird because I'll wake up I'd wake up and be like, oh my God, I'm never going to sleep again. I'm having a nervous breakdown. Like, what the fuck? This kid never sleeps. And now I'm like, I wake up and I just stare at her and I'm like, oh, my God, you're so cute. And I don't even – like, it's like I just can't worry about the lack of sleep, because I know it'll come a day that she fully sleeps through the night. And,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about, like, your social connection / life? Like, are you struggling with that, or are you all good?
Like, we get out and we do a lot, like a different activity. We either catch up with, like, mum friends and their kids, or we go to, like, a kids' activity, like a Caterpillar Club or a Gymboroo class or something else we do. Story time at the library. I mean, all of that's been shut because of what's going on. But typically we get out and we do stuff. And so I've interacted like that. We've had visitors come over. But, yeah, with Oak, like, I stayed home for a really long time because, one, he hated the car and I had serious anxiety about driving him because he'd scream the whole time. Whereas this time she doesn't love the car, but we just get up and go, because I know we can't stay home just because she doesn't like the car, like little things like that. So, yeah, I feel good. I feel like, you know, again, she'll get older. She'll get to, like, 6 months, a year, and she would have her own little group of friends, like baby friends.
Yeah, of course.
And it'll all come back for me. Like, I'll be able to go and socialize on my own again one day. I'll be able to go to lunches and coffees and dinners and stuff one day again. But my kids are only this little once, and I really don't want to miss out on that just because of something that I'll be able to do for the rest of my life. You know, like, my kids will be grown one day and I'll be able to socialize all I want, and they won't be home. They'll be like, you know, and I just, it sounds so cliche, but to me, not being able to go out to breakfast on a whim or lunch or dinner on a whim, like, it doesn't faze me so much because, again, I know they'll be grown and in school so soon And I don't want to look back and be like, oh, you spent all your time worrying about the fact that you couldn't go, like, do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. It's a small price to pay.
Absolutely.
Amen, girl. Well, you sound like you're smashing it. I'm very, very proud of you. Are there any last words you would like to impart on our listeners before we wrap episode 30 up?
Well, yes, of course. I'm shocked, but don't, like, I still have my days and my moments where I'm like so exhausted just from the logistics. Like, I, even though I get good night's sleep, the logistics of having two young children is still very tiring. Like, you're on 24/7. Yeah. And even when she sleeps well, I'm still waking up to, like, check her. Or because my boobs are engorged and painful. And I don't know, if there's mums out there who aren't loving it or aren't having a great day or a great week or even a great time, like right now, like, it's not perfect for everyone every day. And I've had my moments, I've had my days, I've had my days in a row where I've felt like I'm not coping at all. And motherhood, I feel like, is very misconstrued sometimes on social media as well, because of course people put up the highlight reel, and I don't blame them. No one wants to put up like and I don't agree with putting up videos of like your kids having full on meltdowns, because like that's not really fair on the child. But like, no one's going to put up their shit days. No one's going to put up the hard times, and I think that makes people think that when they have a hard day, that they're the only ones going and having a hard day, because but everyone on social media is coping so well, or their child's always smiling, or their house is always clean, or their child's always clean, or this or that. And it's not the case. Like, it's not the fucking case.
Yeah.
I myself have got children. I've got friends who have got children, and look, if you're living that life where your kid, your house are always clean, your kids are always perfectly behaved, like, kudos to you. Like, but it's just not realistic. And I just think that if you are a mum or not a mum and you're having a shit time, like, you are not alone. And everyone has the days, you know. I have shit days, you have shit days. We all feel like sometimes we're not keeping our head above water, but we wake up the next day and it's just, we just kick on.
That's it. Or if you are struggling, obviously ask for support.
Absolutely.
Ask for help around
you. Absolutely.
Yeah. It takes a village, Hayley, and you've certainly got a great one.
Oh, it definitely does. My hat goes off to single parents or FIFO parents or just every parent, to be honest. Like, even though I do have support, it's still, a transition, that's for sure. And it's funny because people are already like, oh, so you're going to have a third? And I'm like, can I have the second first?
Can I just have a minute, babe?
Yeah. But you asked Taylor, and Taylor's like, yeah, we'll have a third. I'm like, oh, are you carrying the third?
She's like, hell no. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your birth story with us. So many of our listeners have been waiting for this, waiting for your return, and we must preface it by saying it's not her full return. She just wanted to come on and tell her birth story.
Oh, but I'm like, it's like I've got a sniff now, and I'm going to be like, when can I come on? You know, and let me just tell you, listeners, it's not from a lack of trying. Rita, when we started this, was in lockdown. Let's all remember that.
Oh, my God.
Now she's got a job. She plays footy. She's got a social life. She's also being a bit of a whore bag. And I have two children, a wife that has her own business that is, work hours are weird. And so we try really, 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 really hard.
And I add a two-hour time difference, which does make it difficult.
Yes.
But this is probably a good opportunity to tell everyone that we're going to take a little bit of a break. I think we've done 12 episodes for season 2, which is, you know, quite generous. I think first season we were super generous. But given that Lee's got two kids, I've got a lot going on right now with work and whatever, going to take a little bit of a break and come back in season 3 when we're ready.
And also, Greece is here in maybe 2 weeks potentially, and so we may do a little
ep
then.
Special. A bit of a special bonus arena.
Yeah, a reunion.
Although the last episode that we tried to do live on Instagram didn't end too well. So
no.
It fucking disappeared.
I know.
But, yeah.
I hope.
No, I'm excited.
I hope. I was a little distracted, so I don't know if my story got across. And it's, I don't know, a bit anticlimactic. It's like I went into labor, my waters broke, I had contractions, I was in pain, and then I pushed a baby out.
Pretty significant if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, Do you want to know what I did on my Sunday note?
No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, probably
that
not.
That is recently. Another episode.
That is another
me
episode.
Me and you really could not be living opposite lives right now.
I know. You're pushing.
I'm pushing out things plug. Out. I'm you're pulling things out.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm pushing out and you're letting in a lot.
Can I just have a bit of a tidbit? I think I said to you not so recently that I had an experience with someone who was quite loud. Mm-hmm. A new person has just trumped that by about four times.
Oh, fuck.
Anyways. That can be another, our for season three.
Yeah, that's going to be season three, episode one, Reet's slut phase.
Well, apparently someone told me quite recently, everyone deserves to have a slut phase. Just took me 31 years to get there.
Yeah.
And on that note, on the hour mark, love you and leave you. Thanks for tuning in. Lee, do you want to do the honours?
Follow us. At Me For Her Pot. And like and subscribe, and we will be back for season three. But we will also do, if Rita makes it to Perth, we will do a special reunion episode, and maybe that can be your slut phase episode.
Yes, love it, love it. All right, love you guys.
Bye.
See you when I'm looking at ya. Bye.